My next guest rang the show to discuss what it was like to study later in life. And I'm really glad to say she accepted our invitation to come back. Lynn, how are you?
I'm much cooler today, thank you very much.
You weren't really sure about talking to me at all, as I remember.
Well, it's not something I'm used to doing.
Yeah, but it's nice. You had a way of putting your argument, your story, your points across, which I thought were really, really nice. What were we talking about studying? Just remind our listener.
We were talking about an organisation called U3A, which is mainly for older people, although anybody who is not working full-time can join. And it's basically do what you want with a whole load of other people of like-minded interests.
Sounds like my kind of thing, Lynn. Do what you like. Do what you like. Right,
well,
now.
Yes, I mean, if you want to set up a group that we don't do, then we'll help you set one up and you can lead it and go from there. There are no rules.
Yeah, I think being inquisitive is really important. I never want to lose that because kind of it drives you on to develop, to find things, avenues, and indeed people. I'm guessing, I'm going to take a punt here, that social media isn't really your thing.
Definitely not.
Okay, well, I thought that, which makes you really interesting in terms of what you found. What's your first story that you've got for us, please?
When speaking to Lauren, we discussed various things, and obviously the Olympics is a big event, and I remember being in Trafalgar Square the day it was announced. And it was just so exciting.
So were we. Robert Elms was hosting. He's my colleague here at Bibs Radio.
Really?
And,
oh.
And he was hosting a show at Trafalgar Square. And I was listening because in those days, I used to drive. Ridiculous. I used to drive into work. And I remember coming up by Finsbury Park, Michael Sobel's on my way up. And I was waiting for them to say Paris.
Well, I was standing next to my friend, and when the man said, London, I shrieked and yelled, and then she went, oh, no.
You're an embarrassment. You let
I think we were just so worried that London, that this country couldn't do very much.
But we're not particularly good.
Surprised?
Yeah,
I mean,
but no,
so
I'll give you that. We're not particularly, look at, you know, the Elizabeth line. We're not particularly good at infrastructure projects. That one, though, I've got to say, with all the stuff about the Walnut Whip and how much it was going to cost, the legacy, which we'll get into, but from the Jubilee line to the stadium, we nailed that, didn't we?
Yes, absolutely. And I was supposed to go with my husband to the Paralympics, but he wasn't well, so I went with my son, who's much more into sport than my husband is. And we went to the swimming I can't remember what it was called now. What's it called?
It's still there, isn't it?
I know. And we were screaming, you know, it was just so exciting. And just wandering around there, and then we watched the wheelchair races at the end on the big screen, and the atmosphere there was just
right. So this
astounding.
Is the just bear with me, because so you've left the aquatic centre, and then you're in the village itself, right?
Yes.
Right. No, I understand what you're describing.
Just wandering around, soaking in the atmosphere. It was just.
Is that one of the days, right? I'm going to push it here. Is that one of the days? Because we're going to do a whole series of shows on the 27th from the Olympic Village.
Mm.
And is that one of the moments you can say, geez, I'm really proud to be British, to be a Londoner. I'm proud because we're knocking. Because you could see from day one, I don't think the Paralympics had audiences like that ever. I absolutely never seen it jammed out for every day in that way. And I'm a massive Olympic historian, fan, call it what you will. I mean, athletics is my thing. And I'd never seen that before. Certainly wasn't like that. Pre-us, it would have been Bird's Nest in Beijing. It wasn't like that.
Well, I think the British are unique in how they enjoy things.
I don't
think the French are terribly demonstrative, are they?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to do that. Yeah, I don't want to do that to them. I'm sure they would have done a great job, because at that time, have you been to Paris?
Oh yes.
So at that time, the metro was a thing. We were looking at the metro like the metro was an example of good practice in terms of travel and underground travel, what you could do and how you could get around. And the Jubilee line and now the Elizabeth line has banged that out of the park. It's absolutely, I happily tell that story with you, because it was a wonderful, wonderful moment. You know, on that, finally, isn't it interesting, Lynn, how we forget how controversial the games actually were?
Yes, I think so, because, you know, there was just so many doomsayers were around, weren't they? Oh, we're not going to do this. After the Millennium Dome thing was a bit of a fiasco. I just think the Olympics.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Bounced everything.
Best thing I can remember us ever doing. I found a T-shirt, which I might try and wear next week if I can find it, or it fits me, that somebody gave me when I was broadcasting in Stratford a decade ago. Somebody came up and gave me a T-shirt, and it said London Olympics 2012, and it had 2012, it had the 12 crossed out, and it had 13. And I love that, because that was them saying it is not going to be ready in time. I'll find that.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm born and bred in London, and I've been here a long time, but I just love doing touristy things.
Oh, look at you. Right, well, touristy things yesterday wouldn't have been nice, because it would have consisted of a lot of fire, wouldn't it? Did you get caught up yesterday?
I did. I had to pick somebody up from Central Middlesex Hospital, and my normal route I couldn't go through. I got to Kenton and there was a fire, so I had to turn around, and I went through Wembley and there were roadworks, and a sort of 20-minute journey took me an hour, and ditto on the way back because there were fires somewhere else. It was just awful.
Horrible. It was horrible, and a bit of a kind of eye opener for me in terms of how fragile the whole system is, the whole ecosystem in terms of what was happening. Which takes me into the next one, because litter wouldn't have been an aid to safety through London yesterday. Stuff lying around could have caught fire, glass, broken glass, all of that. Why is litter on my list here, or your list?
Well, we went up, another touristy thing. We went to the Tower of London last week to go and see the flowers.
Oh, the super bloom. Tell me, because I'm trying to get the kids and they go, Dad. I said, hold on, you love the Fire and Blood or whatever it was. I took them to see, you know, with all the poppies, the poppy installations.
Yeah, so we saw that as well,
But they're not keen. What was it like?
Well, it was good because they can go on the bumpy slide.
Oh, well done. You just swung it. You didn't go on them, did you?
I did.
You are just the way you were 10 years ago in Trafalgar Square. Embarrassing, you are.
I was. My husband videoed it. With me screaming. It was very fast. Very fast. I'm sure your kids will love it.
Be careful. You will end up in Middlesex. They've got an A&E up there. You'll end up there if you carry on. Right, sorry. I'll let you carry on with your story.
We were going to the Barbican in the evening to a jazz concert, which I won't mention. But we walked through the city and there wasn't a litter bin in sight. And I think it's possibly from the IRA days, but they've never put them back.
Is it? I look around me often, and I know it's silly, but I look around it. I've got stuff in my hand on the tube, and I'm like, well, maybe there's a reason for not having it down here. But I think you're right. Do you think that's a legacy from those days? And lots of our listeners won't even know what you're talking about, IRA.
Oh, yes. I mean, we bought an ice lolly, and we had the wrappers and the sticks, and we just kept them in our pockets until we got to the Barbican, because there was nowhere to put them.
It would certainly help, I think, if we had more places to put the rubbish.
I can't believe anybody. I mean, I've taken my grandchildren out when they were little, and they just put the stuff in their pockets. They wouldn't dream of putting it on the floor.
I'm incredibly proud of where I live. I see people walking up and down picking litter up. I wish there wasn't a need for it. I think the older I've got, the more upset, disappointed and frustrated I've got about the amount of litter, because it tells you a lot about an area. Now, wait with me. We've got two more to get through. You're doing incredibly well. I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
We'll be back once we've found out what's happening on London's roads. Right now, I've got a lady called Lynn at Dorthorne, who I spoke to a few weeks ago and I really liked. I thought, you know, it'd be nice to hear what sorts of things take up her time. And apart from being silly on a slide, we're finding quite a lot out about you, Lynn. Thank you for your patience. What was the concert that you went to see? And I don't know, why wouldn't you tell me about it?
Well, it was the Guildhall School of Jazz, the young jazz musicians.
These are the people coming up through the school itself?
Yeah, they are brilliant.
Of course they are.
But I'm afraid I don't share my husband's appreciation of jazz.
Oh, this was one of those, I'm going to take one for the team jobbies.
I like a tune.
When you do those, right, do you tell him? Or do you sit there and smile?
I mean, he has gone on his own before now. But it was just made a day out, so...
Did you get food, at least?
We had a bite to eat at the Barbican.
That's not food, though, is it, really?
Well, it was all right.
Yeah. If we're going to go there, then at least give me a nice meal so I can pretend it's a day. Thank you. You sold the Super Bloom for me, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'll definitely.
It's because it's changing all the time. I mean, some people have gone when everything's...
How are they watering it? I'm struggling with my... Have you got a garden? I bet you have, haven't you?
No, apparently they've got... most of the plants are drought resistant.
Did you just make that up?
No, they told me.
Drought-resistant plants.
They told me, because I did ask.
Please don't do that. There are enough people taking the mickey at me. Please don't come on. You're a guest on my show. Please don't take the mickey. Drought-resistant plants. I need to take the children, because it just sounds... It sounds like the kind of quirky thing that we do in London. And the fact that they're using that space now much more creatively, because I don't remember. I remember, did you go to the installation of the puppies?
Oh, yes.
I went thrice. I absolutely loved it. And I'm a people watcher. So I'm watching the installation and the people watching the installation together. That was another magnificent... We picked a couple of big moments for London, you and I, haven't we?
Yeah.
Poppy installation. Also, and I want to do good ones. If anybody wants to pick up, because what they do when you leave, people will tell us moments and things. There was one that I remember. I'm going off on a tangent now, but just bear with me. I was one that would remember, I'm sure Vanessa was talking about it. We're in London, you had to follow these things, and there were elephants.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that one?
The coloured elephants.
Rah. Why don't we do more of that kind of stuff? Yeah. I think that's lovely, don't you?
Yes.
Is that him?
Yes,
Lynn? Is that your husband getting in the way of our conversation?
Sorry, my husband just came in.
Yeah, I know.
He tells me that you can walk through the flowers, not just view them from
above. He's feeling threatened. I know. This happens a lot with me. Just tell him he's cool. He's I'm friend. I'm not foe. This everything's. He's just coming to kind of mark his territory to let everybody know he's around. We know you. What's his name? Let me give him a name.
Stephen.
Stephen.
Yeah.
Stephen. It's all right. Stand at ease, Steve. I've got this. Right. Let's do this spelling grammar thing now. Should we do that at the end? If that's going to set you off and trigger you, we'll do.
No, it's just a little thing. I did look online, as I said I would, for local articles, and I looked up the local Harrow, whatever it was, and there were two things that struck me. One was about all the local schools with an apostrophe S.
No, that's wrong.
That's wrong. And apparently in Harrow we have two large shipping centres.
Hmm?
Yes, quite. I think you should be shopping. We're quite a long way from the sea.
I've got a bit. Sometimes, if I'm in a hurry, the predictive text and all of that, and then I look back at what I'm just like.
Well, exactly. I always read, even if I send a text or a WhatsApp, I read it back before I send it.
Yeah, but you're not, you're a pensioner. You're not in a hurry. I'm young. I've got things to do and places.
Never argue with an old person. They have too much time on their hands.
Yeah, you've got nowhere to do. You got nothing. I'm in a hurry. I'm busy.
That's right.
But if you're doing a CV if you're, I'm trying to build a mate of mine, we're trying to build, or not building it, but do the copy for a couple of websites at the minute. You literally have to read it again and again. And I admire the people who do it for a job. I've got one mate who's really good. So at the end of it, no matter what's going on, you send it to her and you will have read it 50 times and she'll immediately pick something out of it. Copy reading, and particularly if you're going to put it out to members of the public, it's hugely important.
Well, we do this. We have our U3A newsletter, which my husband is the editor. And we proofread it, and invariably we've missed something. And I didn't miss that.
Of which Stevie Baby is the editor.
Stephen is the editor. He does a brilliant job.
Because he does, because he's listening.
No, he does.
All right. Right, that's exactly the sort of thing that about three or four times a year I bug the team about getting somebody from, I don't know, words that have become a bit more, you know, familiar in common parlance, or things that have changed the meaning of the spelling, the apostrophe, the semicolon. I love it. I love that kind of stuff, that minutiae. It's real good for, because you never know, less instead of, fewer instead of less is the one that gets me every time. And I just want to correct people. It's not less, it's fewer, for goodness sake.
It depends on the context, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, but you know.
Another one is people who say that instead of who, if it's referring to a person.
Say that again so everybody can pick you up. Go, say it again.
If you're talking about a person, you don't say the man that went to the pub. The man who went to the pub.
So I'm looking at my. I'm looking at my two producers who both qualified with a first. But I'm just looking at them. It's just coincidence that I'm looking at them. It's not because I'm meaning anything about. Oh dear, we touched the nail. It might all come crashing down now, Lynn. I think I've overstepped the mark. Right.
I wouldn't like to offend anybody, but it's
no, we're not going to. Last one. Tell me about the galleries and museums.
Oh, galleries. I haven't been to the Horniman. It's on my list of places to go.
Listening then? Because I went there with the... people have told me it is a fantastic... And they've told me for years. And last year we went there as a family. It was superb. Superb. Everybody, the four of us with really diverse tastes and whatever, and everybody found something to stimulate them.
What's the nearest tube station?
We came Forest Hill, I think, and then it's a bit of a walk up a hill, literally Forest Hill, interestingly enough. But you know what's great about it for you and Stevie Baby is that it's a day. It's not an hour. It's a whole day. And it will be a day, and then you'll come out, and then they've got musical instruments outside, and then they've got flower beds, it's great. I'll let you finish.
In fact, one of the things that U3A did some time ago was what were called shared learning projects, where they invited members of various U3As to go and help out on projects at museums.
Well, that's a lovely thing. I always think that's a lovely thing for them.
I did one at the Museum of London Archives, and I did another one at the British Museum.
Right, so I did the British Museum with the boy, but I think he was 11, and I think for him, I would do it again in bits. I don't think you can do the British Museum. It's just too much to take on.
No, this was all behind the scenes.
Ah.
We were given objects and we had to research them because the museum didn't actually know what they were.
Fantastic job to do.
And the Museum of London Archives, we were sorting through relics. I mean, we had Roman sandals, we had tweezers, we had Tudor potties, we had pottery, we had flints. It was just astounding what we got to handle.
You've given me a few things today, and I want to say thank you very much. Not only am I going to the Super Bloom, but I have had a long-standing appointment. I'm not quite sure, but I have some resistance to the London Museum, and I don't know... I don't know what that is, and I'll have to get over it, take the kids and explore. And thank you for doing this. I know that there was a little reluctance when I originally asked you, and Lauren had to convince you, but thank you for doing it. I've really enjoyed speaking to you.
It's been really good.
Thank you, thank you. Look after yourself, and make sure Steve's all right and he's straight, yeah?